Well, good morning and welcome to another of our morning Bible studies as we are continuing to move through the Old Testament and fill in the gaps where we simply weren't able to get to everything in the Old Testament as we were preaching through the Old Testament through our sermon series or through the Bible sermon series. Well, last week, unfortunately, we were having a lot of stuff done at the church, a lot of construction, a lot of repairs. And it was simply too loud to record. So we took a week off. That was kind of unexpected, but you know, that's just kind of how things go. But we took a week off, but we're back this week. We're going to continue moving through the Old Testament. We're going to continue looking at the scripture that you may have missed on your way through and that we certainly missed. We didn't preach through it as on our way through, so we're going to continue. Now, if you remember, we finished up last time in 2 Samuel. The very end of 2 Samuel chapter 2 and the beginning of chapter 3 is where we finished last time. And now we're going to continue into 2 Samuel chapter 3. And we have a really fascinating passage of Scripture here. And tomorrow as well, we have and really, Wednesday, looking at what we've got, we're going to be going through chapter 3, chapter 4. We're going to be looking at chapter 5, I think we're just going to be getting to chapter 5 by the time we finish this week, because there is just a lot of really good material here. So I'm hoping you're going to be joining us, you're going to be with us as we spend today and tomorrow in the rest of chapter 3. We're going to be spending Wednesday in chapter 4, Thursday, and Friday in chapter 5. So really exciting stuff. And the next week, hopefully, we'll be into chapter 6, and we'll be moving through as we look at the kingship of David. As David ends this kind, he ends his wilderness wanderings, and he's finally the king. So we begin here in 2 Samuel chapter 3, beginning in verse 6, and what I'm going to ask is read verses 6 through 21 this morning. Read 2 Samuel chapter 3, verses 6 through 21. Go ahead and pause your audio, and then when you're done reading, go ahead and unpause your audio, and we are going to dive right into the study. Okay, so looking at this, now this may be material that you may not be very familiar with. This is something that you really don't hear preached that often, but I think it's just some of the most fascinating stuff in the Bible. So what we're going to do today is, instead of doing the W's, what we're going to do is we're going to do it a little bit differently. We're going to read through the material together, and I'm going to comment on it, and then I'm going to point out the W's when we see them, okay? So it's going to be a little bit different. If you took the time to point out your five W's and maybe do a plot chart, excellent. That's great work. But I'm just going to be moving through this text commentary style, and then as I point out the W's, we're just going to say who they are, okay? So as the war continued, verse 6, as the war continued between the house of Saul and the house of David, Abner was becoming more influential in the house of Saul. Okay, so right here we have a couple W's mentioned. We have the house of Saul, the house of David, we have Abner, and we see who these people are. Now, we should know who these people are. Obviously, we know who Saul is. Saul was the former king, Saul is dead, and his son Ish-bosheth has been crowned the king of the north. We have the house of David, which would be David and all of David's men, etc. David is not dead, David is alive, and David is wanting to be king. And then we have Abner. Now, Abner's a guy that we've met before. We met him when David with Abishai went and took Saul's spear and his water from his camp. Abner was a man like no other in Israel, is what David says. There was not a man like Abner in Israel. He was a mighty warrior, he was brave, and he was the commander of the armies of Ish-bosheth. Okay? Now, we continue verse 7. Now, Saul had a concubine named Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah. Ish-bosheth said to Abner, "Why did you sleep with my father's concubine?" Okay, now, again, we're introducing new characters. We know that the war is continuing. By the way, we know when this is. This is during the Civil War, because it says the war continued. So David has been crowned the king in Hebron. He is now the king over Judah. People anticipate that he will eventually become the king of all of Israel. And that's what the war is about. It's about who's going to be the king over all of Israel. And now we have more context here. We're told that Saul had a concubine named Rizpah, and Ish-bosheth said to Abner, "Why did you sleep with my father's concubine?" Now, this is significant right here. This is not just a random question about girls, okay? To sleep with a man's concubine, to sleep with a king's concubine, was a way of saying that you have taken the king's place and that you are, in fact, the king. And so Abner, who is fighting this war against David and his men on behalf of his nephew, Ish-bosheth, he is accused of sleeping with the concubine of Saul. He is accused of trying to take the throne for himself. Now, these words of Ish-bosheth really angered Abner, and he said, "Am I the head of a dog that belongs to Judah? To this very day, I am demonstrating loyalty to the house of Saul, the loyalty to the house of Saul, your father, and to his relatives and his friends. I have not betrayed you into the house of David, yet you have accused me of sinning with this woman today." Now, let's just pause again. Are we told by the narrator? Now, this is important. Are we told by the narrator that Abner had a relationship with Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah? No, we don't. We're left to kind of wonder whether this is true or not. But the way that Abner replies makes it certainly seem as though he's saying that nothing of the kind had occurred, that he had not in any way engaged in anything illicit or untoward with this Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah. And so Abner is extremely mad, and he says, "You know, I am risking my life for you. I am being loyal to you, and I have not betrayed you to David. Yet you accuse me of sinning with this woman today." And then he continues, "God will severely judge Abner if I do not do for David exactly what the Lord has promised him, namely to transfer the kingdom from the house of Saul to establish the throne of David over Israel and Judah all the way from Dan to Beersheba." If Ish-bosheth was unable to answer Abner with even a single word because he was afraid of him. Okay, so this is the interesting thing. All right, so Ish-bosheth is now told by Abner. Abner, who was his commander-in-chief. Abner, who was the commander-in-chief for his father, Saul, the great warrior. Abner, who is the real power behind the throne, okay? People respect and fear Abner. People don't really respect Ish-bosheth. And so Ish-bosheth hears this rumor, or he gets it into his head, or maybe it was actually happening that Abner was sleeping with Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, the concubine of Saul, and thinking that Abner is making a power play. And what we see is Ish-bosheth has a major inferiority complex. Now, I don't like to play psychologist. Well, actually, I do. But maybe I shouldn't play psychologist. But I think what we see here is we see Ish-bosheth has a severe inferiority complex. He was not at Mount Gilboa where his father died and his brothers died. He was not there at the battle. He has not been going out and fighting. David fights his own battles. David is fighting in these wars. But Ish-bosheth is sending out other men to fight in these battles. And so Ish-bosheth is afraid because he sees Abner, and Abner is related to Saul. I mean, he's not his son, but he's closely related to Saul. And Abner is a warrior. Abner is brave. Abner has the loyalty of the troops. Abner can command men. And Ish-bosheth sees Abner as a potential threat to his throne. And so what does he do? He asks the question. Now, I think what he's doing, I think in Ish-bosheth's head, he's going to come and he's going to come to Abner and he's going to say, "Why did you sleep with my father's concubine?" And he expects that either Abner's going to kowtow to him and he's going to confess his guilt, or he's going to be so severely apologetic that he's going to be so sorry that he has offended the king. You know, I don't know exactly what Ish-bosheth expected to happen, but I don't think that what actually happened is what he expected to happen. I think he expected this whole event to go very differently. I think he expected Abner to kowtow and capitulate somehow, which, I mean, it shows how badly Ish-bosheth understood the hearts of men. You don't get a guy like Abner to kowtow to you. And Ish-bosheth is a very inferior man. I have said, I don't know, 100 times that he is one of the great chumps of the Bible. Okay, he was a puppet, and he was a puppet who forgot that he was a puppet, is really what happened. You know, he was the scarecrow that thought he was a real man. You know, and so when Abner tells him, he's like, I have been so loyal, and now you accuse me of something like this? He says, you know what? Fine. I'm going to go and make sure that David becomes the king, just as was prophesied about him and as the Lord wants. Okay, so, and then Ish-bosheth, he's afraid to answer Abner with even a single word because he was afraid of him. So we're looking at these characters. We have our who's, we have our when. We don't really have a good idea of where, but I think that's kind of coming here, but maybe not in a very clear way. And then we have our what. Obviously, we're going through our what. So Abner sends messengers to David saying, to whom does the land belong? Make an agreement with me, and I'll do whatever I can to cause all Israel to turn to you. So David says, good, I'll make an agreement with you. I only ask one thing from you. You will not see my face unless you bring Saul's daughter Michal when you come to visit me. And David sent messengers to Ish-bosheth, son of Saul. Now, again, we have another character. Remember Michal? Michal was David's wife, and she was with David when he, she was not with David when he fled, but she was in love with David, and David paid the bride price of 100 Philistine foreskins for her. She was in love. David had earned one of the daughters of Saul as a wife by his actions at when he killed the Philistine, but he said, you know, is it a small thing to become the king's son-in-law? And so he rejected the older sister, Merab, and then he married Michal, who I think always had a schoolgirl crush on David, and I don't think that she ever really gained any mature love for David. The story of Michal is really an interesting story, and it's a very interesting pattern what happens with Michal that we're going to talk about later. But Michal really evinces her similarity to her father, and she proves to be not a very good and loyal wife, although she does risk her life to save David earlier in their marriage when David makes one of his first flights from Saul. But what we see is that her love for David wanes over time, and she becomes a very arrogant and very proud woman. Anyways, that's another story. We'll talk about that later in the future. So she has not been with him. And David says to Abner, he says, hey, great, let's make an agreement. But one thing I require from you is that you bring Michal or you're not going to see my face. And so, and then we have, of course, what follows here. And so Ish-bosheth took her from her husband Paltiel, son of Laish. Her husband went along after her, weeping all the way to Bahurim. Finally, Abner said, go back. So he returned home. Now, this is interesting. So from her husband Paltiel, okay, so this is the really interesting part, is that Michal, when David had fled, Michal married somebody else. So they apparently had been divorced. But Ish-bosheth took her from her husband Paltiel. And now this is really interesting. Ish-bosheth, not Abner, Ish-bosheth is actually doing the things that have to happen. He's actually moving towards having David crowned. It seems like Ish-bosheth is actually, you know, he's recognizing that his ability to hold the throne is going to be gone without Abner. And so Ish-bosheth is trying to find a way to make peace. And so that really explains why David says, you know, you're not going to see my face again unless you do this. What David understands that Abner is not simply just going to give him the throne. He's going to expect that there's going to have to be some security for Ish-bosheth. There's going to have to be some kind of treaty. There are going to have to be guarantees that everybody who fought on the side of Saul isn't just going to be killed. And David is willing to do that. But David says, like, hey, look, I'm willing to make a deal with you guys. I'm willing to end this war. I'm willing to become king, and I'm willing to forgive this rebellion and any kind of hurt that may exist, but, you know, I need my wife back. You know, this is your sign of good faith. And so Ish-bosheth does this. Ish-bosheth takes her, and her husband is following her, and he's crying all the way to Bahurim. That's our where, by the way. That's the only spatial reference we have, I think, in this whole thing. And finally, Abner says to him, go back. So he returns home. So, you know, it's kind of this pathetic scene. You know, you've got this guy, Paltiel, and he's crying, oh, Michal, I love you, baby, and don't go. And he's crying, and he's annoying the crap out of everybody who's there, and Michal isn't weeping. It's interesting that Michael's not the one weeping. she's going on, and finally Abner looks at this guy and says, go home. And the guy just goes home. You know, he doesn't, anyways. It's kind of a pathetic and it's a comic tragic thing, I guess. So Abner advised the elders of Israel. He says, look, in the past you wanted David to be your king, so act now, for the Lord has said to David, by the hand of my servant David, I will save my people, Israel, from the Philistines and from their enemies. And then Abner spoke privately with the Benjamites. Abner also went to Hebron to inform David privately of all that Israel and the entire house of Benjamin had agreed to. When Abner, accompanied by 20 men, came to David in Hebron, David prepared a banquet for Abner and the men who were with him. And Abner said to David, let me leave so that, and oh, by the way, Hebron's the other spatial reference we have. So that's our other where is Hebron. And Abner said to David, let me leave so that I may go and gather all Israel to my lord the king, so that they may make an agreement with you. Then you will rule over all that your heart desires, or all that you desire. So David sent Abner away, and he left in peace. And that's the end of our story today. And I'm already a little bit over time, but this is material that's complicated. So I wanted to make sure that we went through it verse by verse and were really careful. So what do we see? Ish-bosheth offends Abner. Abner says that he's going to hand the kingdom over to David. Ish-bosheth doesn't fight back against this. He's actually seemingly sort of okay with it. And David and Abner begin to make these preliminaries for having the peace treaty. Now, why is this in the Bible? Well, what we're seeing is that I think that there are a lot of lessons to learn. And one of the lessons, I think one of the most important lessons, is, you know, be careful what you say. You know, if you're somebody who, you know, is kind of a weakling, it's probably not the best thing for you to do to be, you know, trying to play a big man. And I think that that's really what one of the big lessons here is that, you know, there's a certain level to a certain point at which you need to know your role in life. You need to know who you are. And what we see is that the weak are kind of just rolled over. I mean, look, we see two things in this story. We see Ish-bosheth, who tries to stand up to Abner, and Abner just silences him. And then we see Paltiel, you know, weeping and hoping that he's going to change something, and Abner just silences him with a word. And we really see the plight of weak men, and Tom Wolfe talks about this in his novel I Am Charlotte Simmons. And it's really interesting where they talk about, you know, male humiliation, how men can never talk about how they're humiliated. It's this word that we can never use, but how powerful that is when a person can be emasculated, when a man can be humiliated and shamed, especially shamed publicly, which was certainly what happened with Paltiel, and is really in the long run what happens to Ish-bosheth as the kingdom is turned over to David, is that Ish-bosheth is humiliated, and that's I think that we're supposed to feel bad for Ish-bosheth in this story. I think we're supposed to feel bad for Paltiel as well. I mean, you shouldn't marry, you know, David's wife. I mean, of all the stupid things you could do, marrying David's wife is probably like one of the dumbest of the things that you can do. But we see that both of these men were men who were, you know, too big for their britches, and they realized that only too late that they had bit off more than they could chew. And I think that this story kind of flies in the face of this American dream of, you know, anybody can be anything, you can do it. Well, no, not everybody can do everything. You know, there is such a thing as being too big for your riches. There is such a thing as getting out over your skis, if you want to use that expression. You know, you can bite off more than you can chew. And if you're not a strong, commanding personality, then maybe taking a position of leadership may end up being hazardous to your health. But we will see more about that later. Anyways, that's all we have today. Tomorrow we are going to continue in, and we're going to be looking at verses 22 through I believe the end of the chapter. 22 through 39 through the end of the chapter. So I hope you'll join us tomorrow as we continue to go through the Bible. Thank you. God bless. Bye.